December the 7th, 1941, cries could be heard in Hawaii over the radio saying, "We are under attack." 1941 will ever be an historical day in our society as Americans when the Japanese Imperial Navy Army attacked our soil. 8 U.S. Navy battleships were damaged. 4 were sunk. 3 cruisers, 3 destroyers were damaged or either sunk. 1 mainliner was sunk. 188 U.S. aircraft were destroyed. 2,403 Americans were killed. 1,178 were wounded. The Americans saw that Pearl Harbor was an impenetrable fortress. Had narrow lanes coming into it. They had anti-submarine nets set up so that it was a fortress that could not be attacked. But the Japanese had studied Pearl Harbor for a long time. They were trying to kill our Pacific fleet. They were trying to knock them out so they could keep enclosing and keep taking over land. And so we see that even in America, we're under attack. But I want to talk about another attack. We're under attack by Satan. Satan himself is a powerful person. He has an army and he has an enemy. By the way, the enemy is us. And so today I want you to take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And of course, we see in this chapter, just kind of give you an overview, is the Lord has had the Last Supper or Last Passover with His disciples. During that, we see that Judas was kind of revealed who he was. He denied the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. The army was en route to receive our Lord, to take Him into custody. And we see that Jesus gives a little farewell speech here. And of course, I want us to think about in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31 that Jesus is speaking to Peter, but also He is speaking to His disciples. Now, there's a little bit of doctrine we need to cover here because I believe that Jesus Christ started the first church. I do not believe that the church was started in Acts chapter 2. I believe in Acts chapter 2, the church was empowered. I believe Jesus started the church. He said, "Upon this rock, I'll build my church." Peter was not the first pope either, just so we can go ahead and mark that off there. Peter was married too, by the way. We know that no marriage would, I would never want to be married, or never want a mother-in-law without a marriage. And we know that Peter had a mother-in-law. And I promise you, he didn't get that by choice. He got that by marriage. But as we look at this scripture, we see that Jesus Christ is basically addressing Peter, and we know the later outcome of Peter's life. He's there on the day of Pentecost leading the charge. We see that God used him greatly to get the church in Jerusalem organized and get them going and rolling, and thousands of souls were saved because of Peter's obedience. But today we must look at Peter's life and see what God, through Jesus Christ, said to him. In verse 31, the Bible says this, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired." Now notice that statement. "Hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Now, there's a couple things we see in here. Is that number one, we see that Jesus refers to Peter as his old person. Before the days of Simon Peter's salvation, his name was known as Simon. That was his lost name, if you would say it that way. And Jesus goes to him and says, "Simon, Simon." By the way, when Jesus said your name twice, you paid attention. But when Jesus said your old name, if Jesus would have come to Paul and said, "Saul, Saul," Saul would have said, "Uh-oh, I'm in trouble." Basically, Jesus was prophesying to Peter, saying, "Peter, you're going to go back to your old ways." And Peter, he says, "Simon, Simon," he says, "behold." Now notice what he says here. He says, "Satan." He identifies the enemy of this attack that is coming. It's very specific that it is not the other disciples, that it is not the Pharisees, that it is not the Sadducees, but it is Satan himself is going to come. Now notice what else this verse says. Hath desired to have you. By the way, you study this out, and you can say this a different way, but Satan went to the Lord and requested to have Peter. So this was a request that we know that through Job chapter 1 that Satan makes in front of the Lord God. He comes and he says, is there somebody I can have? And he said, hast thou considered my servant Job in verse 8 of the book of Job chapter 1. Here we see that apparently Satan had come before God and said, I want Peter. By the way, notice what he says here. He says, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Then he told him what he's going to do to him. By the way, prophecy's good. But I don't know about you. I don't like to know what's going to happen to me. But he says, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as, and he's very specific, as wheat. Now, if you study what they would do in the Old Testament and the New Testament, what they would do with wheat is that they would bundle it up and that they would lay it out and they would beat it until the grains of the wheat came off of from the shaft. And they would pick up the shafts and they would bundle them back up and burn those, but the fruit would be left over. But in order to get that fruit, it had to be beaten. It had to go through a process in order to be sifted. Now, I want to tell you that Satan not only wanted to attack Peter, he wanted to attack the disciples. By the way, Satan's not dumb. By the way, he's not a cartoon character. He is an angelic being that is in one place at one time. But he has a host of an army. And he has workers of iniquity that go and work for him. And they're all over our society today. A lot of them are in power today. A lot of them will come to be in power. Hello. I don't care what side you're for. It's that we see that Satan is working harder today, I think greater today than ever I've ever seen in my life. I see him attacking our churches. I see him attacking our Christians. I see him attacking our government. Why? Because he knows there's fixing to be a trumpet. He knows that the Lord Jesus is going to step out one day. And he's going to call us home. And he feels the rustling of that happening this very moment. And just as me and you, we only take care of things when we know that it's getting close to that we're supposed to have it done. So Satan sees the end is near. And he is working overtime. I want to show you a few things through here. Notice number one. Notice the allowance of this attack. The allowance of this attack. He says, Simon, verse 31 again, he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired that he may sift you as wheat. He said, now Simon, Peter, I'm telling you that Satan has come to me and has requested that he can attack you. And we know later on that this attack actually does happen. Because Peter denies the Lord three times as Jesus had prophesied to him. And we know that this attack came upon Peter, but it also came upon the 12 disciples as a whole. 11 disciples as a whole. Which was a representation of the church. Satan knew that the head of this little group called the disciples was Peter. By the way, Satan don't care about the outskirt things a lot of times as much as he's worried about taking out the head. We've had a couple of snake incidents around here lately. And we have friendly snakes around here. They're called rat snakes. Don't kill them. They eat rats. I hate rats worse than I hate snakes. We had a crew working in the back, and if Joshua was here today, he could testify to this. And this is a guy that was putting up poles back there. Came across our friend, Mr. Rat Snake, and he's a big rat snake. He's about 5 foot long, and according to what he's eaten, to how big around he is, I like to see his belly filled up because that lets me know he's doing his job. But it scared this guy half to death. He was a burly man, country boy, but he screamed like a girl. And I could hear him hollering, and I thought maybe his foot was caught in something or he had hurt himself. And so me and Joshua ran through there, and Joshua was closer than I was, and it was a snake. It was our friend. And we were talking later on after it calmed down and after I stopped laughing at him. He said, I was gonna kill that thing. He said, I was looking for something to cut the head of that snake off with. And I thought, why you cut the head off? Because you cut the head off, the body dies. Everybody get what I'm saying? You cut the head off, the body dies. See, Satan knew that if he could cut the head off, if he could cut Peter, that the disciples would follow. Because they followed Peter. Later on in Scripture, we know that in the book of John, Peter said, I go fishing. He said, I'm done with this disciples thing. And what did the disciples say? Well, we're going with you. So we know that he was a leader. But I want you to notice that God allowed this attack to happen. This reminds us, and we're going to read here further down in a moment, but we're reminded that God was watching this situation. Amen. That God was in control of this situation. I want you to see the second thing. There's an advocate of the attack. Notice verse 32. Verse 32 almost makes me want to jump a pew. But I don't feel like it today. My back hurts. My head hurts. Wah. Verse 32 says, but I pray for thee. Woo. It's kind of like when you're going through a tough situation in life and your wife reaches around your shoulders and pulls you in and says, honey, I love you and I'm praying for you. You're like, let's go. Let's get it on. Everybody kind of knows the story of me and a bum this week. Almost got in a fight. Some of y'all don't know it, and it's going to be even funnier to y'all. I was attacked by a bum this week in downtown Fort Worth in a burger joint. Guy was trying to steal my burger. Don't mess with my burger. You can have the kids, but don't take my burger. No, the man had used some profanity in front of my family, and it's on. But I wasn't really in the attack mode. I was going to be patient. Until Brother John and our Brother Roy Reed jumped up. We jumped up together. When I felt Brother Reed jump up too, I was like, I got help. Amen. We ran that guy down the street. I'm telling you, it was a blessing to see him run so fast. And if you could imagine Dog the Bounty Hunter with a shirt on, that's what this guy looked like. And But I will tell you that when I look back, I had a few people with me. You know what gave me a little more courage? I was like, yeah, I could have took him out. Now, if they leave me, it would have been a little different. But I don't know about you, but when I'm facing a trial, I'm reminded of this verse that my advocate says, I'm praying for you. Jesus just told Peter, you're going to be attacked. I'm going to allow it. But Peter, praying for you. You know what Peter should have done? Bring it on. Yeah, bring it on. Satan's coming. I'm ready. How am I ready? I got somebody praying for me. I have an advocate with the Father. I have somebody who is there with me. Someone who is there to comfort me and to guide me. Matter of fact, if they would have listened to Jesus in the Old Testament, whenever he told Moses, he said, Moses, when you get in there, he said, I'll fight for you. He said, I'll go before you. I'll fight for you. But the children of Israel, no. But I want you to notice what else happens. We see the anchor of an attack. We see not only the allowance of this attack, the advocate of this attack, but we see the anchor of this attack. Notice what Jesus said he was going to pray for. He was going to pray for an anchor in this attack. He said that thy faith fail what? Not. Jesus said to Peter, he said, Peter, I'm going to allow this attack. Peter, you're not going to understand why I'm allowing this, but Peter, I'm going to promise you one thing. I prayed for you. I told the Father about this. He knows. I like it when the Father knows. But he said, Peter, he said, I prayed specifically for you. I prayed that you have an anchor in this attack that's going to hold you. He said, I prayed that your faith fail you not. Folks, I don't know about you, but when I'm under attack, the first thing to start wavering sometimes is my faith. And how much of the Bible in the New Testament is spent on saying, keep the faith. Keep the faith. You're not going to understand this attack right now, Peter. You're not going to understand what you're going through. Hey, listen, Christian, this morning, you're not going to understand maybe the attack you're under right now by Satan, but you just keep the faith. Why? Because there's a God in heaven who knows what's going on, who allowed what's going on, and you just keep the faith. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's easy for me to say that when you're being attacked. And it's easy for you to say that to me whenever I'm under attack. You just keep the faith. Good luck. It's kind of our thought sometimes, isn't it? I don't know about you, but whenever I'm being attacked, it's as if nobody else is going through this. And that nobody else understands this. But we must be reminded. Billy McKinney might not understand. Brother Shields might not understand. But God understands. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm very thankful when y'all pray for me. When you pray for each other, whew, I like that. But I'm not gonna put you down, but I'm going to say I like it more when Jesus is praying for me. Whenever He takes my case before my Father and says, Father, that's Wiggins. He's one of us.
Yes.
Now, Father, we're allowing some things in his life. But would you watch over him? Father, I've gave Satan permission. God gave him permission. They're all the same, but we're just having a conversation. Holy Spirit's going to be there to comfort him. Christ is going to be there to help him, and God's going to be there. That's a triunity of goodness right there. When God stepped into this picture with Peter, notice what he says. He even gives him, really, we see a lot of things going on here, but also we see the action after the attack. All right? So notice what happens here. We see, I give you these again, the allowance of this attack. We see the advocate of this attack. We see the anchor of this attack, which was Peter's faith. It had been prayed for. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I don't know how much more Word of God you can get if Jesus is speaking to you. Let me say that again. I didn't get no amens. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And the Bible says that Christ is the Word of God. He's the embodiment of the Word of God. And if Jesus Himself was speaking to Peter, that's the Word of God. And Peter gained faith by Jesus speaking to him. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. So, but I want you to notice what else happens. We see the last thing. We see the action after the attack. Peter, what are you going to do after you've been attacked? Jesus tells him what to do. Now notice what he says here. He says, verse 32 again, he says, Behold, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail thee not. And when thou art converted, that word converted, if you studied it, just simply means when he comes back to the Lord. Not when he's saved again. But when he's converted, that means when you convert something, you're changing it from this to this. That doesn't always mean salvation. If I'm changing something from 220 to 120 or 240 to 120, that just simply means I'm taking off an arm somewhere and I'm coming into three-phase to two-phase. Something like that. Really, I don't do that. I just call Brother Bradshaw and say, Brother Bradshaw, I need this worked out. And he does something. I don't know what he does, but he makes it happen. I can plug a regular plug in that. It converts it over. Now, it's still electricity. We're not starting with something that didn't have electricity and give it electricity. Peter already had it. But Peter went from a 480 to a 120 in his life. He became less effective because he denied the Lord. Because Satan had wanted to sift him. Notice the action after the attack that Peter was to take. We don't understand these attacks on us, do we? But here's what God told him. He said, this is why this is going to happen. He said, when thou art converted, he said, strengthen thy brethren. He said, Peter, listen to me. You're going to be more effective when this is all over with than ever before. You say, how do you know that? Because I read the book of Acts. Peter, was he effective during his time? Now listen to me. Was he effective during the time of disciple? I don't see it necessarily. But I'm going to tell you what, when you get to the book of Acts, I see some effectiveness. I see more effectiveness after he denied the Lord and went through this attack than I do before. Listen to me, you don't understand attacks. I don't understand attacks. But God has made a promise. You keep the faith. You be reminded that he's praying for you. But you also remember that he has a purpose. That purpose was, Peter, you're going to be able to help somebody. People are going to listen to you. Peter, I'm going to let you see thousands of people saved. If you just keep the faith, I'm going to use you greatly. Let me say something right there. It's easy for me to say that. But it's ultra hard for me to live that. I like it when I understand things. Don't you? When I was going through paramedic school, first week of class, we had to learn the function of the heart. We had to trace a drop of blood from the veins all the way through the system of the body. First week of class. I'd been through EMT basic and thought I knew everything. I thought I was pretty close to being a doctor at that point. Till our instructor came into class and he said, all right, take out a piece of paper. Because we had just kind of gone through the generalness. He said, I want you to trace a drop of blood through the body system. I said, well, that's pretty easy. Till I started trying to write it out. And realized very quickly, and this was, he was proving a point, our instructor was, that I did not understand the body quite as good as I thought I did. Sometimes we think we have figured out life. Sometimes we think we've figured it out until we're under attack. And God reminds us as His children, you don't have a clue sometimes. So what are you saying, Brother Wiggins? I'm saying that's why we hold on to faith. When you don't understand, you trust Him. When you think you don't understand, trust Him. When you can't see the hand of God in your life, trust Him. When it seems that you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, trust Him. When everything's going right, trust Him. Keep the faith. We see that Satan, New Testament, by the way, New Testament attacks aren't new. By the way, when Joseph was in the Old Testament, Joseph of the Old Testament was, he was sold by his brothers. He was under attack by his own family. By the way, you're going to face attacks from your family. He was not only facing an attack from his brothers, but there was a woman who was named Potiphar's wife. That's the only thing we have about her. The devil used her too. By the way, the devil will use Potiphar's wives in our lives to attack us. But when Joseph was done with all this, by the way, you know the story. Put in the pit, the prison, Potiphar's house, and then the palace. Here's what Joseph said at the end of his life. And I want to ask you, do you think he kept the faith? It says, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Wait a minute. This man went through horrific life before he got to the palace. And he said, you meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. We see that Esther and Mordecai, the story of them, that Haman was out to kill Mordecai. He had made up his own laws and he was wanted to be Lord and King. He wanted to be worshipped and Mordecai said, I'm not worshipping you. He said, well, I'm gonna make a special gallows for you. Satan was using Haman to attack not only Mordecai, but to attack Esther. You know the story. I love it. Haman comes in and the king says, "What would you think I should do if there's somebody that needs to be recognized?" And Haman says, "Well, he must be talking about me." He says, "Well, king, here's what I do. You know that robe you wear when you're in the possession, you know, when you go downtown on your horse?" He said, "I'd let him wear it." He said, "King, I'd let him ride on your horse. And I would have somebody dress him and give him a ring. And when he's coming down the street, let him say, 'Here he comes, great and mighty.'" Yeah. And the king looks at Haman and says, "Okay, go get Mordecai." Can you imagine the heart of Haman? "Wait a minute, I thought we were talking about me." He said, "Go get him and dress him." I love that story. Can you imagine that dressing session? I'm sure, put this on. Is that tight enough? Get on the horse. Haman's holding on to the horse coming down the road. "Hail Mordecai, great and wonderful." Then the gallows that he made for Mordecai, he ends up being hung on himself. Satan tried to use Haman to annihilate a seed that was being passed through the Bible. There's a lot more there. Nehemiah had Sanballat, Tobiah attack. Job had friends attack. Yeah. You ever had friends attack you? Well, y'all greater than I am. Elijah had Jezebel. Jesus had Matthew chapter 4. He had a personal encounter with Satan himself. Go home, read it. Matthew chapter 4 tells us that Satan took Jesus up into an exceeding high mountain and said, I'm paraphrasing, he said, "I'll give all this to you." Here he is telling the Creator that he can have everything. And Jesus defended himself as an example to us by using the Word of God. Attacks are nothing. By the way, attack after attack upon Jesus and upon his disciples, the Pharisees. God, the devil used the Pharisees. He used the Sadducees to say, hey, everywhere they went, they were hiding in corn stalks at one time. Could you imagine that? On the seventh day, they're corn stalks. Jesus' disciples picked one up. Oh, we saw that. Satan was always there, trying to attack. Paul, attack. Peter, attack. John, the Baptist, attack. John, the Apostle, attack. I'm telling you, when you see John had his head cut off and put it, given as a token. Listen, there, attack after attack is happening. But can I tell you, when Satan sees that his end is near, he's going to go out all-fledged attack upon the church. By the way, you look and you see the intention of Satan when he says that he may sift you as wheat. That word sift, if you look it up, it means to shake or to riddle. I like this. This was in my Strong's Concordance. I wrote it down. Here's what sift means. By inward aggravation, basically, to try one's faith to the verge of overthrow. You ever felt like you're there? Bible preaching churches all across America today are under attack. Five churches, main churches in the Houston area, that preach apparently the Word of God, were asked by the mayor of Houston to give all their sermons and text messages to her. First of all, who does she think she is? Well, these five main churches were pretty smart. They sent her, along with other churches all across America, began to send her messages. Typed out messages in so much that she had to hire extra staff just to read them. When she began to get so many messages, she finally said, we're good. Because she began to get so much of the Word of God. I like that. Churches are under attack. I want to give you this and I'll be done this morning. By the way, I want to remind all of us, Satan has a plan. And he's working that plan. Satan is leading that attack. Can I say the first thing he wants to attack? By the way, his goal for you, number one, is that you die and go to hell. If you're lost this morning, Satan is wanting you to die and go to hell. Number two, if you're saved this morning, he wants you to be miserable and ineffective for the cause of Christ. And how does he do that? He attacks your life and he gets you bitter. He gets you away from God. He gets you to quit praying, to quit reading your Bible, to be judgmental. He'll take you out. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot this verse. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that the devil, roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Why do you think he was telling them that? Because he was almost devoured at one time. And he said, I know Satan's working. And you read 1 Peter chapter 5, you'll read it. That chapter's a lot about Satan. And Peter trying to help them people, the Christians there, he's trying to help them to say the attack is coming. If he can't get you to go to hell, he's going to get you to go to heaven so miserable and so ineffective that you don't take anybody else with you. By the way, if you're a Christian here this morning, the one thing he wants you to do, well, there's a lot of things, but this is just one that I thought of. He wants you to be unfaithful to church, to your spouse, to your kids, to your Bible reading, to prayer. If he can get you unfaithful, he's got you on the line. Ooh, yeah. Reeling you in. And you just kind of just keep going. Kind of keep going. And the further you get away from the boat, the easier it is. It's like, well, I'll just go with it. Two things, I'm done. Number one, Satan has an attack plan for you personally. He had an attack plan for Peter. It was a direct plan for Peter. We know that he was saying, Peter, I want Peter. But I want you to see that he has a personal plan. Satan wants Michael Wiggins. Because if Satan can get Michael Wiggins, guess what? He can get the ambassador class. He can get Donya Wiggins and get Bailey and Brody and Shelby. He can get people that surround me. He knows that if he can get me. But you know what? Satan says, if I can get Eric Crawford, Tanya Crawford, I can get all of Heritage Baptist Church. That's why I tell you all the time, pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. Get on your knees and say, God, our pastor needs you. Because why? Satan's after all of us. But our pastor that stands behind this pulpit, we have bullseyes, don't we? Bullseye, ever heard you say that? But pastor has a bigger one. Because why? More people are affected by him being attacked. But I want to say that Satan not only has an assault plan for you personally, but he has an assault plan prospectively. That means Satan doesn't just attack to hurt you today. He has an attack plan that'll hurt you not only today, but tomorrow, for next year, and for... By the way, when he attacks, he wants to make an eternal attack. Something that'll leave a mark for a long period of time. By the way, you study ISIS, you study any of our terrorists, you study the Japanese Imperial Army that attacked Pearl Harbor. Their job was to affect as many as they could. That's why they figured out how to get their bombs to go and not go deep in the water and to stay on the skim of the surface so it would be more effective. They studied it and they studied it and they studied it. And by the way, Satan is studying and he's studying and he's studying your life. His army's coming back and reporting to him, Satan, we were just at Michael Wiggins' house and we saw this and this and this. We think this is how we can attack. Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make a plan. We're going after him, but we're going after everybody around him. Satan's after you. By the way, how do you fight Satan? By the way, the other day, I've not been so mad since that bum the other day. I was shaking. I hadn't been that mad in a long time. But in my mind, the moment, I'm kind of like Brother Feaser, I think of things. When I go into a building, I know where all the exits are. I know what I need to do if somebody was to attack my family. That's just the way I think. My wife can tell you that. And I mean, I could tell you right now, if something was to happen, I know what exactly I'd do. Now, may it happen that way? Probably not, but I got a plan. Better than some of you. You say, what's your plan? If somebody come in here right now to attack us, I'd tell you, get as low as you can. Amen. There's enough gunfire in this place. That... I'm going to be honest with you. The reason I've lost weight is so I could get lower to the ground. I don't want to have a bullet hole through the back. Okay? Listen to me. I feel sorry for somebody that ever walked in this door and tried to attack us. We're ready. Let me remind you that Pearl Harbor thought they were ready. We can say, well, I'm ready. But I'm going to tell you what. You can personally be ready all you want, but if you're not spiritually ready for an attack of the spiritual nature, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. This ain't a physical... There's probably like two of y'all I could beat in here. If we got in a tussle, there's probably like two of y'all, and I don't even know who you'd be. It'd probably be some of the, I don't know, kids in the nursery. But I want to tell you what, we're no match for Satan. You say, I'll beat him up. Come on, Satan. Satan don't fight like that. Satan don't fight with his fists. He's not man enough to do that. He fights through the back doors, through the inward, through alluring. I was watching a thing many years ago, broke my heart, how these men were going to these bus stops and luring these kids into their cars by using puppies and stuff. I thought, God help us. But I was thinking, you know what? That's how Satan does us. He lets us find something we like and allures us to it. And he's got you. Listen, I know you're here this morning, you're like, preacher, I just want encouragement. Good night. The encouraging thing I can tell you is that you got the God of gods on your side. You just have to let him work. You say, but I'm being attacked on every side. I hate it for you. But if Jesus said, I'm praying for you, that's my badge of courage. You know what? I say this, I'm done, for real. Joshua was taking the helm from Moses, and what a big set of shoes to fall into. Yeah. Moses wasn't perfect, but neither was Joshua. But Joshua had proven himself. He had found favor in the eyes of the Lord and in the eyes of the people. And as Joshua was getting ready to take over this Independent Baptist Church of complainers and murmurers, and they were always hungry and always thirsty. So I know they were Independent Baptists. Here's what the Lord God said to Joshua at least three times. Joshua, be of good courage. Joshua, be of courage. Joshua, be of good courage. He said, Joshua, I'll fight for you. If you will allow me to. Folks, I don't know about you. When I get in attack sometimes, I lose my mind. I'm like, you ever look back on some attacks that Satan's put on your life and you go, why did I react that way? Guilty. Instead of just going, God, I don't understand this at all. But I trust you. God, I'm done. I said this yesterday. He who fights on his knees wins. You may be the strongest guy here. You may be John Reed. But you're no match for Satan. The Bible says, I believe it was Peter that even said this, bodily exercise profiteth little. He says, but godliness is great gain. What was he talking about? He's not telling us not to exercise. He's telling us when you're under attack, it don't matter if you've been to the gym. It don't matter how much you can pick up. You'll be destroyed in a moment. Because Satan fights spiritually. Listen, are you ready? How do you defend it? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I like that verse. You fall down on your knees. Say, God, I can't do it. But you put on the whole armor of God. You put it on and you keep it on. And keep the faith. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, I know this is not necessarily a salvation message, but I'm going to tell you, Satan wants you to go to hell. A lot of people tell you that in life, but Satan means it. He wants you to die and to go to a devil's hell. Can I tell you, there's one who gave his life so you wouldn't have to. You know what Jesus did to Satan? Messed his plan up. He started a plan back in Genesis chapter 3. And God ruined that one. And God's still ruining Satan's plans all day long. Because God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus died for you. You don't have to go to hell. Closest I'm going to get to hell is right here. This is the closest I'm going to get to it. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you that Jesus died for you. Now, let me say this to you Christians. Maybe you're under attack. Can I tell you? He's praying for you. He knows about it. Keep the faith. Keep trusting him. By the way, God, the song says, one of Pastor's favorite songs is God on the Mountain. He's God of the mountain. He's God of the valley. God of the good times, good of the bad. Just trust him. Let's stand this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to pray, and then Brother Tim's going to sing hymn 163, Only Trust Him. Father, we love you today. God, we realize that the attacks of Satan are real. God, they're not just fairy tales that's read in a book, but God, they're real. He attacks real people. Lord, he does damage that a lot of times that not just affects where it hit, but God, all around. God, help us all to be ready. Lord, help us all to have on the armor of God and help us to be on our knees praying and realize that this is not a battle that we can fight on our feet. But God, we stand only in your strength and in your faith. We believe you. We trust you. God, I pray for those that are here this morning that are not saved. I pray that you give them the courage to come down front, allow some of our people to show them through your word how to be saved this morning, that they don't have to go to hell. That Jesus Christ came and gave his life. He lived and he died. He rose again on the third day to give them life eternal. They just put their faith in him, turn from their wicked ways. Lord, I pray that you bless this morning. If there's a Christian here that's going through an attack, I just pray you bless. Lord, help us all to be on guard. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name.